So welcome to Advent at ALF. I have the second message. Let me see if I can light these candles. The first one, remember, stands for hope, and Josh gave a message on the expectation of the Messiah. The second candle, if Sarah did her job, will light right away. That candle represents faith. It gives us, an opportunity to prepare our hearts for, in faithful waiting, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So, the long-expected king has arrived. Josh, I put the hyphen in, so all the grammar folks would be fine with that if you remember his message last week. So, just a quick recap from last week if you weren't here, or perhaps you forgot what Josh spoke on. He started out with a passage from Luke 24:44, and let me just say that we're going to be scripture intensive this morning, but that's okay. I don't have a whole lot of cute stories because I'm just not wired that way. But so let's do a summary real quick. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Josh went on to talk to us about what should the Jewish people have been expecting from the Torah and the prophets and the writings. And just real quick, from the Torah, the future champion will crush the serpent's head but die as a result. He will come from Abraham's line and will somehow bless all the people. He will be a kingly descendant of Judah. From the prophets, the champion or king will be the Messiah from David's line. The Messiah will be God in some way and will die for other sins as a servant and yet live again and be exalted. And then from the writings, the Messiah will be both king and priest. He will be God's son, will be killed, but also rescued by God, and his death will bring about salvation. So then Josh gave us this great little puzzle board, puzzle pieces. They fit so nicely together. So this is going to be the basis of what I'll be using. Josh had the task of taking the Old Testament and picking out the prophecy of our champion, of our Messiah, of the future king. So I get the privilege of talking from the annunciation or the announcement of Christ to the resurrection. So Josh had thousands of years to cover in 30 minutes. I don't have as many years, but we'll see if I can get through them in a timely manner. So, all right. So he gave us this nice little summary of the puzzle board. It says, the champion will be an anointed messianic king and priest from the line of David, who is God and the Son of God. He will be a suffering servant who will die for the sins of the people, but who will live again and be exalted. Then he will reign forever. So the Old Testament sort of predicts predicts the Messiah. The New Testament reveals the Messiah. And I'm going to go ahead and give you who it is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. So I went ahead and I was going to tease you a little bit and not reveal that to the end, but I thought I'd go ahead and just let you know now that the Messiah that is revealed through prophecy and Scripture is Jesus of Nazareth. So I added a couple things to Josh's puzzle board just because he said the Messiah will be both priest and king, so I added priest in that sort of fourth puzzle box. If I number them, I'll go one left to right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 9 will be the last one. And then also the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. So I added those just so, because I'll cover those this morning. So we'll take a little bit deeper look. So the champion will be born in Bethlehem of a virgin, an anointed messianic king, a priest from the line of David, who is God and the Son of God somehow. He will be a suffering servant who will die for the sins of the people, but who will live again and be exalted. Then he will reign forever. All right, so we'll get started. Since Josh picked Old Testament prophecy and passages, I needed to go back and grab a couple Old Testament passages for being born in Bethlehem and of a virgin. So the champion will be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 talks about, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So this is from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Just a couple things that I'll mention in this passage. It's interesting. It says that this was a little clan of Judah, and Jesus comes from this kingly tribe of Judah, but it'll be a sort of a small town, small people. And what I kind of got out of this passage is the Messiah is not going to receive prominence from where he's from or from who he's from. So the flip side of that, the coming champion or the Messiah will actually bring prominence to Bethlehem, will actually bring prominence to this clan of Judah. So that's one thing in this particular verse. The other one, it does talk about ruler or king. On our puzzle board, it says that the Messiah is going to be a king. And here it says that for me to be a ruler in Israel, and his times of coming forth are from long ago. What I want to point out here, I won't spend a lot of time on this because we need to get to the New Testament, but Scripture does not teach that Christ came into existence at birth. Okay, so this, Micah is saying here, his times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So Christ doesn't come into existence being born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Christ has always been the Messiah, our champion, has always existed. And then the Old Testament passage, will go to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God in covenant with us in sort of physical form will be fulfilled 500 plus years later by a champion born in Bethlehem of a virgin. So the annunciation of the birth of Christ, or the announcement of the champion, we're going to look at the angel speaking to Mary and Joseph, and then the reaction of the Magi real quick. That won't be all of it. That's just the first section. So, all right. So the way this is going to work, so you can keep up with me, is I've highlighted in red, kind of pinkish, I guess, those passages or words that will fulfill the puzzle board, and I'll bring the puzzle board up back up, okay? So that's kind of how this is going to go, and so that way you can follow along. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." So Josh's great puzzle board, I'll throw it back up, and we'll see, okay, what of the Old Testament summary of prophecy is sort of answered in the New Testament? So you see I got a few check marks there. I went ahead and pre-checked Abraham, the second and third box. It'd be a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of Judah. Josh spent a little bit of time last week kind of narrowing the line a little bit. So that's already pre-checked. I'm not going to go over that again. But it says in this passage that that it'll come from to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. We see in the sort of that fifth box there, it says that that he will rule forever. That is in verse 32, that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and then also be born of a virgin. And the angel also says that he will be God's son. So sort of a few passages there to kind of click those off. Now, with Joseph in Matthew 1, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." I kind of always giggle at that for some reason. We'll kind of just put you over here and not embarrass you too much. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So we already see that this child is going to be the one that's going to save us from our sins. Doesn't say he's going to die yet, but going to save us from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet will be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And you kind of remember, let me finish the passage. And with Joseph, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to her son. This is an important part. He didn't have relations with Mary until after she gave birth to a son and named him Jesus. Jesus has got a lot of names here so far, but it'd be kind of easy if the Old Testament just said, hey, born in Bethlehem of a virgin and the name is Jesus. That would have been really easy, but it didn't. It doesn't work out that way. All right, so here, and I made it a little easier, so sort of the check marks on this puzzle board I've circled for each passage that we talk about. So it says that he will take care of the sins of the people. Doesn't say that he'll die yet. Doesn't say anything about being exalted yet, but we kind of have, okay, Jesus is going to do something with sin, sin in the world. It says from David again, he's called the Messiah. It says again that that she's a virgin. So it kind of checks off a few more boxes of this. And then with the Magi, it says in Matthew 2, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now here he has a title, king of the Jews. So these wise men from the east, these Magi from the east, they're coming to worship this child, and they give him a title of king of the Jews. For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he kind of says, now where did you say this Messiah was going to be born again? And they say, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, we talked about this in Micah already, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, and by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search for the child, because he wanted to end up killing him. I won't continue this. After this, after hearing the king, they went on. They went to see the child. They rejoiced in verse 10, and they came to worship Christ. So here we see where these Magi, these three wise men from the east, have come, and they've already given this child a name, and it's called, and he's a king of Jews, king of the Jews. That kind of bothered Herod a little bit. Herod wasn't pleased that maybe a new king was being born, and as the story goes, I won't go into it now, but Herod ends up wanting to kills, you know, all the children under two. So here we see where quite a few other check marks come into play. You know, the Messiah is both priest and king. So here we see that he's called the king of the Jews. We also see that Judah's descendant will be a king. We also see that he'll be born in Bethlehem. All right, so as we go back to the summary, we kind of see where some of the things are starting to be fulfilled in New Testament prophecy. So that's the things in red. So we've covered born in Bethlehem of a virgin, a messianic king from the line of David, son of God is talked about, and doing something with the sins of the people. I don't know how you deal with this every week. It starts pulling on me. All right. So the champion will be both priest and king. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of teaser for Wednesday, because I'm pretty sure I'm leading Wednesday after this, typically what we do. And we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth Melchizedek, who is a priestly king, And we'll touch on him briefly this morning, but what a fascinating individual. I don't say character, but individual. So we may talk a little bit more about Melchizedek on Wednesday, I don't see Josh, but Josh has like got a 75-page paper on this, so there's a lot. So, oh yeah, but I've already requested it, so to read it. Okay, so the champion will be a priest. The champion is to have priestly duties. Jesus was not a Levite, and from that line, Levites were allowed to be priests. The first one was Aaron, the brother of Moses, and then, that's where the sort of the priestly line came from. But it says that Jesus, we'll read Hebrews in a second, Jesus is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. So let's kind of see what that means. Hebrews 6:20, it talks about where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For this, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth of all the spoils. He gave a tithe to him, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or days nor end of his life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. And it talks about where Jesus is a priest likened to Melchizedek. So now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed are the sons of Levi who receive the priest's office, have a commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is from their countrymen, although they are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. I read all that. Those chapter 6 and chapter 7 has a lot of information on Melchizedek. But Melchizedek means righteous kingly priest, because it's kind of two Hebrew words that are put together, and I'm not going to try and pronounce them, and I'd just be made fun of later. It says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. That's important because the greater always blesses the lesser. And here we have Abraham, as great patriarch as he is, Melchizedek is blessing him. Abraham gives him a tithe. Jesus is a priest in the order of Melchizedek, is superior to that of Aaron and the whole Levitical priesthood. You know, that priesthood wasn't necessarily meant to go on forever, because Christ is our ultimate intercessor. Thank you, whoever said that, between us and God, right? So he is the ultimate priest. So the champion will be a priest. So there we are. We've finished that box number 4, and we'll go in. I just didn't have a lot of time today to go in a lot deeper. We'll do more on Wednesday for that. So Josh, you missed my Melchizedek, but I'm going to have to read your 75-page paper before Wednesday. Okay. All right, the champion will be both priest and king. So the champion will also be a king in the order of the champion must also be a king in order to be Messiah. So Jesus was from Judah, sort of that line, the kingly tribe. We've already established that. The Magi from the east came looking for the king of the Jews. He's already been labeled a king, as we read in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus taught that he would one day sit on a glorious throne. Matthew 19:28 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you that you have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" Also in Matthew 25:31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." Many in Israel thought that Christ would be, their earthly king, right? And he would, remove the Israelite people away from, the Hebrews away from this sort of yoke of Rome that has been placed upon them and the bondage. But in Luke 19, it talks about where, "Now while they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he's near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. But although his kingdom is currently not of this world, John 18 says, Jesus answered, not directly to that passage, this is in John 18, but Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. So Jesus says he has a kingdom. He is a king. So, and then even during Jesus' trial before Pilate, Pilate questions him. He says, so are you the king of the Jews? And he answers him, it is as you say. He didn't defend himself in any other way during that trial. He just answered affirmatively that it is as you say, that I am a king. So we look at Josh's puzzle board and we see where we've checked off, you know, a lot of these things. And again, we have the sort of the fourth puzzle piece there with king checked off. And so we'll keep going. So here, this nice little, Josh, you weren't here. So I had to add a little bit to your summary. I had to add priest. I know. So please forgive me. I hope I didn't violate any copyright or anything like that. So the champion will be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. We covered that. An anointed messianic king and priest from the line of David. We covered that. Said son of God. We've covered that. And do something with the sins of the people. We kind of covered that a little bit, but not entirely. So the champion is to be both God and the Son of God. So this Jesus says, I and the Father are one in John 10:30. He says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. So Jesus is declaring that not only am I the Son of God, I am. I am God. Luke 1:35, Gabriel tells Mary the child will be called the Son of God. We covered that. Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit descended. I can't read this verse, Jimmy, without thinking of Africa. The many questions we got from those pastors there. But Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit has descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and his voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So the champion, which I've already given you the answer, is Jesus Christ. You know, side note, I was probably early, maybe 20s, maybe something like that, before I realized that Christ was not Jesus' last name. So, yeah, I'm a little slower than most, but and we'll get there in a little bit. But I don't know why that popped in my mind, but maybe I've got more than one channel going. But so it's not Jesus' first name, Christ's second name. So you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. So the champion will be both God and the Son of God. So here we see that puzzle piece number 8 is checked off again, that he will be God's Son. All right, so now we've covered quite a bit in this summary passage that Josh put together and I edited without his permission. So born in Bethlehem of a virgin, anointed king, priest, king and priest from the line of David, who is God and the Son of God, and again will do something for the sins of the people. All right, the champion will be a suffering servant who will die for the sins of the people. So the Old Testament description of the Messiah is that he was a suffering servant, and he is a suffering servant, that is in Isaiah 53. I know Josh covered a lot of that last week, but a few verses from that. On the cross, he was despised and abandoned, in verse 3, pierced, oppressed, and afflicted. And what I did is I took, instead of reading all of Luke 22 and 23, I sort of summarized the various ways that Jesus suffered sort of on the road to the cross. In the garden, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. He's sweating drops of blood, right? We would all say that he is suffering with the agony of this cup that has been, or this task that has been laid before him. If there's any other way, let it happen. But, of course, the only way was to die on the cross. Suffering, being, you know, betrayed by Judas and being arrested. I mean, he walked with Judas for for a good while, right? And he was betrayed by him, being condemned by the Sanhedrin. No one wants to be condemned by anyone else. Denied by one of his own. Peter denied him. Even though Peter loved him, he still denied him. He was judged by Pontius Pilate. He was mocked and beaten and tormented and crowned with thorns, crucified on a Roman cross, and those spikes driven through his hands and feet. He dies and he's buried. That is a suffering servant, right? And he did suffer for the sins of the people. Through his death, though, our sins are forgiven. Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets testify of him that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:38, therefore let it be known to you, brothers, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace. So back to the puzzle board again, we see, okay, that he's going to die, that he will die for the sins. The first one, crush the serpent. He will crush the serpent, but he'll have to die, you know, to do that. It says he will be killed in tile number 9, but somehow rescued by God. All right, so we're covering most of this. Josh, your points are pretty good. We're finding passages in the New Testament that support the prophecy, and we just have a couple left, it looks like. So the champion will live again and crush the serpent. After Jesus died on the cross, he was taken down, he was buried in the tomb. It's recorded in Luke 23. But, you know, dying on a Roman cross is not, it's only part of the story. Thousands of people died on a Roman cross. So our champion of this story must overcome death and be bodily resurrected for our salvation to ring true. So at least three times in Jesus' earthly ministry, he predicted that he would die and rise again after 3 days, Mark 8. He began to teach him that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise from the dead. Mark 9:31, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And when he was killed, when he had been killed, he will rise 3 days later. Mark 10:34, same theme. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. So, again, lots of scripture evidence of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I think also Corinthians, maybe. Oh, I'm getting a nod. I'm getting an affirmative. I left that off there. So if you want, we are not going to read those passages, so don't worry about it. But if you need to go there, so there's plenty of evidence. Over 500 people, says he appears to over 500 people at one time. You know, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, the disciples, you know, many, many people that he appeared to. So our summary slide looks like we're covering it, right? So we found passages to support the puzzle board. It says our champion will be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. We covered that. An anointed messianic king and priest. We covered both those. From the line of David, who is God and the Son of God. He will be a suffering servant, which is described in Isaiah, who will die for the sins of the people and who will live again. And we haven't covered and be exalted, then he will reign forever. But so you see here, we've got two circles left. I haven't covered mighty God or be exalted. I'm going to leave exalted to Jimmy because I believe he's doing the ascension and things like that. So that'll be the third one. But I thought I'd give you a little bit of free stuff, Ronnie. I know you're ready for this. So so it says that Josh says the champion will be named Mighty God. You know, the virgin in Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So it doesn't mean that Jesus' actual given name is Emmanuel, right? I kind of talked about that earlier. I thought first name was Jesus, last name was Christ for, you know, most of my teenage years. There are many names given to Jesus in both the Old and New Testaments. Isaiah says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. There you go. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But he was never called by any of these names by the people he met in Galilee or in, you know, Judea, right? although they are accurate names for who and what he is. The angel says in Luke that Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High and the Son of God, but neither of these are his given name. The prophet Jeremiah says, writes of a king who will reign wisely, and he will be called the Lord is our righteousness. Now, anyone having kids might want to name their kid the, you know, righteousness or something. I don't know. But again, that's not his given name, right? So let me ask you a question, and we'll close up here. What is the name of George Herman Ruth? Babe, is it George? George is. That's one answer. What else? Sultan of Swat. There you go. So George Herman Ruth has lots of names. The Babe, the Colossus of Clout, the Sultan of Swat, the Bambino, all these type of things, right? So, there's probably a couple out there. So the name of Babe Ruth multiplied due to his ability on the field. For Jesus, we can call him by his given name, but we can also call him by many other names as well. So the champion, our long-expected king, has arrived. His name is Emmanuel, Lord, Mighty God, Messiah, Anointed One, the Son of the Most High, and many, many other names. It is Jesus the Christ. So, all right. Let me close this in prayer, then we'll get to announcements. Father God, we thank you so much for today, Lord, and we just thank you for a risen Savior. Lord, just during this time that we can just have faith in him, that we can celebrate this Christmas season, that you provided a way to us to be reconciled to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the fulfillment of prophecy. We thank you for your Son. God, I just pray that you would guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.